Before we do anything else, I want to invite my staff team that I really, really love up here with me. Guys, would you come up here? While we're all together, this is if you have not figured out, this is family day here at Christ Community Chapel Aurora Campus. So is there anybody here who's here for the very first time? Like, I've never, ever been here before. It is awesome to have you. This is not what our normal week is. Come back, please. I mean, I hope you enjoy today, but come back, because this is a very atypical week, but very, very wonderful. We found a tool that we use with our church staff. It's called Culture Index, and it just tells us a little bit about who we are, and it kind of tells us a little bit when we try to understand about finding our fit and our role on our team. And one of the things, this will come as a surprise to none of you that know me, is I am all people. I think I told you before, I'm like a Labrador Retriever, and I have no detail sense at all. Like, the reason today is happening is because I said, what I contributed was, I think we should have one service where everybody's together, and I think we should have a picnic. I'm not kidding. Kim, you worked here. You know that's true, isn't it? That's what I said. I said, that's the extent of my idea, and every one of these guys made it happen. And they are, and I, just for a minute, yeah, thank you for thanking them. I just want you to make sure you know their faces and their names, and some stuff I'm going to tell you later is going to be important. So listen to who they are and what they do. Guys, tell everybody who you are and what you do here on the team.
My name is Will Birch. I am working with students and whatever else Mark asked me to do.
I'm Aaron Arnold, and I do all the music, and I help with service planning.
I'm Michaela Bowers, and I work in the kitchen and help with the different events.
Hi, I'm Jill Peterson. I also work in the kitchen with Michaela, and where's Carla? I work with Carla, and I do a little bit of everything.
Hey, I'm Chris Mackey. I run the facilities around here.
David, media, et cetera, whatever else Mark asked me to do.
Nicole Coy, Children's Ministry Coordinator for birth through 5 years old, and anything else Mark asked me to do.
I'm Tara Brown. I'm the campus admin, and everything Mark asked me to do.
Jennifer Smith, Women's Ministry Coordinator, and sometimes I do what Mark asked me to do.
Carla Merkel, I run Cafe 68 and do anything Tara asked me to do.
Last but certainly not least, I am Melanie Novak, and I run the ministry for your kindergarten through fifth graders. Some of those pictures are rolling in, mom and dads. Keep them coming. I'm getting some great pictures for the sermon. And here you go.
And just real quick, Mark's a campus pastor here.
Yeah.
But really, though, what you should know is the one thing we've all enjoyed about working with Mark is he might be the most approachable boss leader that you will have ever worked for. So we're very thankful to work with him, and you guys are privileged to have him.
That is... thank you, guys. Thank you very much. I really do love these guys, and... one of the things I love, I worked at the Hudson campus for 19 years, and a lot of people will ask me, do you miss the Hudson campus? And I'll say, I miss the friends that I made at the Hudson campus, but the Aurora people are better. What I've come to really love is at the Hudson campus, and I love that God uses it this way, because it's larger in population, you tend to get specialists in an area. The children's ministry are children's specialists, and they all hang together. Our team, with our mid-size, they joke about it. But they say, and whatever else Mark asked, because we collaborate a lot together. So they just are a really, really great team. And I'm looking forward to you working alongside them. The Kids, do not forget those pictures. I want those pictures, whatever you think this sermon sounds like or what the passage feels like to you, make sure you get those pictures put in. We at Christ Community Chapel, we exist for one reason, and that is to help people come to know Jesus. Help people come to know Jesus. Help people grow in Jesus. And help people to understand how to serve Jesus in their lives. That's why we exist. My expectation is when you get on an airplane, you expect that that company's process is to get you safely from point A to point B. That's why an airline company exists, right? At least that's what you hope. That's you hope why it exists. We exist for only one reason. And if we don't, if you are part of this church and you say, I want to be here, I want to be part of this church, then expect that what should happen to you is you should come to know Jesus in a saving way, and we talk a lot about that, grow in him and serve him. And then there was a, I was watching this week, there's a guy who's candidating for one of the positions in our church, and he sent us some video, and one of the things I loved from his church, they had four columns, and they had a purpose very similar to ours. We didn't create it, Jesus did, so any good church kind of does it. And theirs was, it wasn't this, but it might as well have been, know, grow, and serve. And then they had a fourth banner that I loved and I often forget. Any guess what that fourth banner was? Repeat. I love that. Because the process of knowing, growing, serving is not linear. You don't go, okay, I'm landed on the serve spot, and here I am. Hey, you guys over at the know, I hope you get here. No, the process of being a Christian is dynamic. You come into faith with Jesus, you mature in that faith works itself out into making a spiritual difference in the lives of people around you and in your church, and then you go back and know some more, and you grow some more, and you serve in different areas. So I hope that describes you. And I will say it often. I know there are a couple different types of group of people here. Some of you are going, I'm in. Mark, you know I'm in. I tell you all the time, I'm in. I'm on your team. I'm whatever you call it. And some of you go, Mark, you seem like a nice guy. That's an awfully bright shirt you have on. And I don't know that I'm really into this Jesus thing the way you are. So I'm just going to kind of hang back a little bit. By the way, I love that you're here. My wife does think my shirt's too bright. I don't. We'll settle that later. The fact that you're here alone, I love. But I want you to know I have an agenda for you. And I just told you what it is. My agenda is that you get in that process, and you grow, and you serve, and you in all in Christ. Something just happened a few minutes ago that is absolutely indicative of why I love this church, and I have to tell you. We had somebody who, on their way in, dropped a check, and so there was some concern, and we found it and got it to the person, but I said to one of our ushers, did you find a blank check? Because I'd heard one of the ushers found it. And he said no, so I went on to another usher. And a couple minutes later, that usher walked up to me and went, here you go. And I was confused because I knew the person already had the check back. I said, what's that? He said, you asked me for a blank check. Oh my gosh. I have friends who are in ministry, and when I tell that story, they will weep. They will weep. And I gave it back, by the way. Some of you will not rest until you know what happened in that story. I gave the check back and said, sorry, we misunderstood. But unbelievable. And, you know, Joe talks about going through walls. That's the kind of, it just is overwhelming that we get to be in this journey together. Would you open your Bibles? Because the stuff I say, every once in a while I'll get lucky and be able to entertain or interest you or whatever, but the stuff this says changes your life. This is God's word, and we want to be in it today. Matthew chapter 9. Okay, so Matthew chapter 9. And use your Bibles if you have them. Guys, students, if you have your phones, I'm saying it's okay to get them out. I'm saying it's okay to use them. I saw on in a classroom document I was reading this week, try not to be distracted. You know, don't bounce over to Fortnite and then come back. Just try to stay with me. I'm going to try to keep you interested. Matthew chapter 9 is where we are. And it says this, starting in verse 14. Then the disciples of John the Baptist came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. That's the first half of what we're going to look at today. Okay, take a minute, look back at the verses, look at it, see what it says. Now let's talk about it. And I want you to know that the reason that I picked this particular passage for today, and the reason that I walked you through our entire process, know Jesus, grow in him, and serve him daily, if you notice one thing, we don't talk about it all the time, but even in our purpose statement, in our process, we focus on Jesus. I look at a lot of other churches and their websites and they'll say things like love God, love others, and I thought it's a little unique. Why do we focus on Jesus? I mean, we specifically say, come to know Jesus, not think good thoughts about God. Well, my hope is what we talk about today will, if nothing else, illustrate to you why I love Jesus and why I think loving Jesus is the thing that all of us should experience and live our lives doing. And it's because of this. Let's take the first part. The disciples of John the Baptist. Oh, the other thing, if you don't know me very well, I love teaching, interacting. I say that often. So now you've turned into my small group, even though there are several hundred of you here. The disciples of John the Baptist come and they ask Jesus what? Anybody over here remember? What have they said? Why don't your disciples fast? And Jesus says, what? So this is weird. Here's the thing. He never really answers the question, but he never really answers it directly. He could just say, because I told him not to fast. That'd be pretty easy. Takes up less words, less red ink in the Bible. Because I told him not to. I love when you and I get questions from people who aren't at the same spot that we are maybe in faith, and it's a really hard question, and you guys, my friends, are going to answer with a question. And there are a couple reasons why you do that. Number one is almost always, if you have the right spirit, a question is disarming. Okay? Because these kinds of discussions, when people start asking you questions about faith, that's deep, deep, deep stuff. And oftentimes they're looking for a fight or to be proven right. And as soon as you ask a question, you are doing what Stephen Covey said, you are seeking first to understand before being understood. Right? So Jesus employs the same method. The other reason is it's going to stimulate a different part of their thinking, the people who've come to you, the people who come to me, because they are expecting often just to get an answer dumped on them. If you come to me for counseling, you will be shocked at how many questions I ask you before I try to get, because I want to understand, where are you? Why are you asking the question? And Jesus himself models this. He says, they say, why don't your disciples fast? A couple comments, a couple observations here you need to see. As you're studying this on your own, you should unearth these things. First of all, just a few chapters earlier in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus teaches about fasting. And what does he say? When you fast, do what? Don't let anybody else know you're fasting. So this is a little odd that they come and say, hey, we're fasting and we fast a lot. Why don't your disciples fast? So one insight we have there is that this tells us there was even something wrong with their fasting. Because Jesus could have said, hey, you know, it's okay. You know, you're abstaining from food and you do it because you want to express your own repentance and you want to see God's glory come right here on the earth and you're pleading for it, even to the point that you give up food. He could have said that because that was the real good reason to fast. But what had happened was people like us had taken what was a really good faith practice and they had turned it into nothing but a rote tradition. Right? And you say, well, yeah, that's what all those other stiff religions do. We don't do that. We raise our hands and we rock and roll here. Right? No, some of you guys, if I were to ask you, why do you read your Bible? You go, honestly, I don't know, because you keep telling me every week to do it. What? No. You read your Bible because it is the God of the universe's revelation to us about who he is, and about how we can live, and about how we can get rescued. And that's why you read your Bible. And for this group, they came and said to Jesus, why don't your guys fast the same way we do? And this is so amazing. He says, can the wedding guests, what? Mourn. That's weird. He says, can the wedding guests mourn when the bridegroom's with them? So what he does is he paints this wonderful picture. He uses an illustration which helps us to remember. And he says, if you were to go to a wedding, it'd be pretty inappropriate if you sat and you mourned at that wedding. Because you have completely misunderstood what the purpose of that wedding is. It doesn't mean, by the way, that some people have experienced sad things and gone to a wedding, of course, but it would be tremendously hard to continue to mourn at a wedding when you get caught up in the celebration. So generally speaking, fasting. Does fasting strike you as a super happy thing or kind of a sober, sad thing? Okay, yeah, then good. You're still awake and you're still reading appropriately. Yeah, isn't it interesting? Isn't it weird? Isn't it odd that Jesus takes what's kind of a sober, sad thing, topic, and he goes right to like the most festive thing we have in our human experience? The celebration of love and joy and the coming together of two lives. And Jesus contrasts this dry, stale fasting experience with a wedding. But he specifically says, you can't mourn. You don't mourn when you're at a wedding. Interesting answer, Jesus. Are you going to get to the question or not? So if you're in that crowd, you're starting to think, wait a minute, what's going on here? Because his statement is a statement of wisdom. It's, man, I should be learning something by that. Okay, Jesus, I'll bite. No, people can't mourn when they're at a wedding. But then he goes on to this next passage. You probably go, ah, that's really... He talks about what? What's he say next? Wine and wineskins, right? Which, again, I love the connection of, you know, you have a wedding, and many weddings include wine, and it makes the heart merry, and it makes the wedding festive. And then, but Jesus says, you don't take new wine and pour it into old wineskins. Now, we bottle our wine, so this didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I looked into it a little bit. In this culture, generally, wine was stored in the skin of a goat. All right? You got to understand also a little bit about wine, and I only know a little bit about wine, but new wine that is grape juice put into a new wineskin is going to do what? Expand. As it ferments, it's going to expand. So now it makes sense to you because you're saying, yeah, if a goat skin gets old that has already expanded, then it expands and does what? Gets dry and crackly, right? So you got this crackly, weird goat skin, and Jesus says, nobody who cares about their new wine is going to go, oh, here, I'll store it in an old wine skin. Because it bursts and runs all. And you go, again, interesting. Kind of a cool picture. Thank you, Jesus, for planting a visual image. But you got to go, wait a minute. Is he talking about an eternal truth or not? Is he just, you know, do I walk away from this sermon going, I need to go to more weddings and I need to drink more wine? I love my church, you know? What's going on? And what's going on is why we include Jesus in the very bullseye of our purpose statement and our process. Because this is a statement of Jesus saying, you guys, you Pharisees, you disciples of maybe even of John, if you're going to practice exactly the same Pharisee practices, then you are old wine in old wineskins. And watch out, baby, because the new wine is here. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, me, my teachings, my life, they are the new wine. And the very last thing I would do is take the new wine that I'm teaching my disciples and tell them, go and do what the Pharisees do. Because that would be dumping it into crackly old goat skins. So he did answer the question. But he answered the question by saying, if you don't understand my authority, that I am the Son of God, none of your questions will make sense. None of what I'm doing will make any sense. So he starts with wisdom. He goes to his authority. And then I got to get you to this last section. Go, pick up in 18 with me. I had never seen this connection until I spent some time preparing for this. While he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. Take a second. Think about the awkwardness of the dynamic of this gathering. These guys are in kind of a pseudo-intellectual, like fasting, no fasting, wine, wineskins, all that. And a dad who lost his daughter comes in and falls in front of Jesus. You talk about setting perspective. You talk about wanting, you talk about understanding instantly about what matters in life. I'm a huge Tribe fan. You guys know that. It's ridiculous. I need counseling. But I love the Tribe. And if they don't win a World Series, never mind. That's another sermon. I love the Tribe. The other night I was waiting for the game to start, and I came across a little bit of news. Leonis Martin. I'm like, they just traded for this guy. He's been contributing. This is on. Leonis Martin in the hospital. Francona's only words are, if you believe in prayer, send your thoughts and prayers. Came to find out a few days later, we didn't know right away, he had a bacterial infection. He almost died. I'm going, you want to talk about putting things in perspective. All of a sudden, 9 innings of throwing and hitting a ball don't matter at all. And it affected his teammates and the opposite team. There are guys on opposite teams writing his initials and his number on their hat because they understood, they focused in on what mattered in life, what was important. And this guy comes and he kneels before Jesus. The faith here is unbelievable, where he says to an itinerant preaching carpenter, my daughter just died. And if you come and just place your hand on her, she'll be made well. And Matthew has, in his account of Jesus' teaching and his life, he moves him away from this theology discussion with people who might not really care, and he moves him right to the life and death situation. And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, and I love this, Pastor Joe talks about little details that you would never get this stuff if this was just made up. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will be made well. Jesus turned and seeing her said, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. And instantly the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him because they knew that dead was dead. They thought, this guy's too, I don't care what this guy's all about, he's too late. Every person there was experiencing what you and I think about when we have to face death in our lives and in our families. And the full weight of the finality dropped on them. And they laughed at this guy who thought he could do anything about death. Who comes up against death? And you know the rest. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose, and the report of this went through all the district. And this is why Jesus is at the very center of who we are and what we do. Not because he has clever teachings, not because he has wisdom, not because he says things about wine, but because he is the only one who can handle your eternal destiny. And when you feel the full weight of death that has to come to your physical body because of the sin in the world, there is only one person who will call your name and remedy that situation, and it is Jesus, the Christ of God. And that's why I love him, and that's why I suggest you investigate and place your absolute life and trust and faith on him. If Father God, you are so good to us to once again give us your word, to walk alongside us by your Holy Spirit, to enlighten us, to open the eyes of our heart. I pray that for all of us that we have taken a faith step closer to Jesus today. And if there are those here who need to just yield and say, Jesus, I believe you are the Christ of God. I believe you are the one who has the power over death. That, Father, you hear that prayer today and allow the angels to rejoice as you tell us they do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.